Time is a constant struggle that we hear about from our customers on a daily basis. Projects over projects, important activities that have to be prioritized without deprioritizing anything else, but at the same time, a challenging economic environment in many industries. So even though we know that self-reflection is crucial for our own development and to become better at our jobs, there's often not enough time in the day to accomplish this. So the challenge is to really connect this personal development that is so essential for us to progress and to make the best impact within our organizations to our daily doing. To talk about today how to make this miracle happen is my dear colleague Kurt Meyer, consultant and managing partner at ICG Austria. He will share with you his insights on how to pragmatically drive leadership development in a modern world. Welcome to Change That Works, a podcast by ICG about change, leadership, and innovation that takes you behind the scenes. I'm your host, Carola Gasser-Trinkle. Kurt, welcome to the podcast. Hello to Vienna.
Hello, Carola. Thanks for inviting me, and it's great to be here.
I will actually just start with a very controversial question, just in the beginning, to play a little bit of devil's advocate. Why is it so important to work on personal development to begin with? So why not simply choose the right people for the right position and then, you know, it's all figured out and it's all fine?
Because organizations don't transform by itself, but people do. And even if you would select the right people for the right roles, then the environments change and then new challenges evolve. And yesterday's strength can become tomorrow's limitations. So personal development, I would say, equips people and leaders and employees with the skills to navigate change, to face personal challenges, to strengthen the core capacities that matter most in today's world for staying really resilient. And this is self-awareness, motivation, empathy, and the ability to build strong relationships. So in a world where complexity and uncertainty are the norm, these aren't just nice-to-haves. It's essential to strive for personal development.
What impact can good leadership have? I mean, you've worked with a lot of organizations. You have a lot of experience in this domain. So what impact can it have to the difference between having mediocre leadership and having very, very good leadership in an organization?
I would say the impacts of good leadership or of leadership that really makes impact are enormous in organizations. And we know from many studies and also from our personal experiences in the leadership programs and change projects we made throughout the years that good leadership makes an important contribution to higher employee engagement and retention, to stronger collaboration across silos, to faster adaptation to change, and to, I would say, a more resilient and agile culture. And this is measurable. Since in the meanwhile, there is strong empirical evidence from Gallup, from Daniel Goleman, from others, from the Hay Group, and now also from neuroscience, really showing us that emotionally intelligent leadership directly contributes to business outcomes like performance, like better decision-making, like healthy organizations.
Listening to you, I hear that it has a real impact also on business results.
Yes.
And still, when sometimes you hear phrases like, oh, you know, we don't have the money for this, we don't have the budget for this, we don't have the time for this at the moment because we need to take care of our business. So it's kind of ironic that there is not always this clarity what the impact can be.
Yeah, sure. I think in historical terms, it took a lot of time for organizations and also for research to become clear about that. But what I'm recognizing, especially now in the last 2 or 3 years, that this is really changing. And we get a lot of requests in terms of developing leadership skills for leadership development, for preparing people to be really resilient in this very fast-changing world. So I would say there is really a shift also in the mindset of leaders and of organizations in terms of recognizing the importance of leadership for business.
Something I observe in my client situations is that there is never time for anything. In the change processes that we work with, there is always the question, okay, how can we even make time for a meeting, let alone a whole day workshop, and that it takes a lot of prioritization and rearranging, and everyone's always completely filled up with meetings. How can you make time in this world, in this modern time, for leadership development? How does that work?
At first, I think the observation is absolutely right, since it really has intensified. In our conversation with senior leaders, a common theme emerges. The teams are feeling exhausted, and so do they by themselves. So everyone seems to be under pressure most of the time. Now the pace is high and to-do list endless and so on. But the paradox is, the more intense the environment gets, the more crucial it becomes to step out. Not as a luxury, but as a leadership responsibility. And I think you can't lead well if you're always in a reactive mode. So stepping back to reflect, to grow, to connect, that's not a timeout. That's, I would say, it's strategy.
Why do you think it has increased over the last years? Do you have a take on that?
I think it's evident why it has increased over the last years. And it has to do with all this, the bad news cycle and this high pace of change. Since what we are observing now, when we are looking out, there is this war in the Ukraine and in the Middle East and no end in sight. There are climate reports that read like a disaster scenarios. This is Trump every day back in the headlines, and threatening us with tariffs and with the collapse of democracy. And it's all these things, and AI is taking over and whatever it is. There is a lot of threat outside and there is a high pace of change. And I think in this environment, it's incredibly challenging. Yeah, it's incredibly challenging to stay grounded and focused in the face of such dramatic headlines, of such dramatic uncertainty and global turbulence. And in terms of leadership, I would say, which is why now more than ever, we need to strengthen our inner foundation, our personal development, our resilience and our emotional skills, especially as leaders.
It's kind of a vicious circle otherwise, if you're not well equipped. Like, you have the feeling that now I don't have time for it, but then you're not well equipped once all these things come around. So you're stuck in that. It's kind of, you have to put the mask on before you help others situation. You have to be equipped in order to actually handle what's coming your way.
Yes, absolutely. And, once I started some notes, what leaders are telling me nowadays. Yeah. And what they are telling me is, I no longer what has priority today now. Yeah. Everything is constantly changing. And they don't know what even still applies now. Yesterday, we were against it as a company. Today, we are totally for it. I can't keep up anymore. Yeah. Then where do I still make a difference? They are asking themselves, where do I still make a difference? I no longer feel effective. Or I'm always getting interrupted and have to respond to external demands. I'm working nonstop, but not on what really matters. This is the sentences people, leaders, employees are telling me now.
And what do you tell them?
I will tell them, especially in this situation, self-reflection, thinking about yourself and creating spaces for developing situational awareness together and spaces for honest feedback. These aren't just nice to haves. These are the most important leadership tools we have to deal with disruptive change and to guide complex systems. So it's really simple to find time and space for the self-reflection, for thinking about yourself and for creating these spaces of ever and ever again. Yeah, if the world outside is changing, to develop situational awareness together.
You mentioned the word simple, Kurt. It is a big challenge, though, how to incorporate this self-reflection, this personal development into daily business, how to take this time out of very busy lives of especially senior leadership or even middle management. So how do you do it? How can you make it simple?
Okay, let me maybe explain first what is, in our experience, the biggest time waste in leadership development. And I would say it's the following scenario. Leaders go to a training. They learn powerful tools there, like radical candor or nonviolent communication or whatever it is. And they leave inspired then. They are full of good intentions. And then they are going back to their teams and to everyday leadership life. Back to overflowing inboxes, back to back meetings. And what about the new ideas and tools of the feedback training? They don't even make it to the calendar, let alone into practice. So that's the gap. Inspiration without integration, without implementing the new leadership behavior. And that's exactly why we use now, or we learned to use, a sprint approach. Because a sprint approach doesn't stop at learning. It's really designed for real-time application and implementation to trigger impact there. So leaders work on their own business challenges then. They test new behaviors in the flow of their daily work. They reflect with peers. They build routines. So a sprint cycle, as we do it now and experiencing now, this is short, it's focused, and it's really grounded in practice, not in theory.
It reminds me a little bit of learning French in high school. You learn a language, you sit in class, but then most people don't come out of high school speaking a language because they never really had a chance to apply it, because people don't go to France every week or that often.
True.
So
true.
Very, very similar. If you have knowledge that you cannot apply in practice, it will just waste away. There's just no real impact. So it's a little bit of a similar situation.
And I think the learning principles, they are quite similar, since also in language learning has always to do with learning by doing, with peer learning, learning together. It has to do with self-reflection. It has to do with small and quick wins, not the big abstract goals, one step, one moment of courage. And above all, it has to do with real relevance. Yeah, in language learning, it gets real relevant when you are going to the country and when you have to speak with the people. Otherwise, it's abstract. There are a lot of similarities between language learning and leadership learning.
And I mean, the advantages in leadership learning, you have opportunities almost every day to implement what you've learned. Like, you just have to make that connection and realize that you have the opportunity. You need to be reminded somehow. You need to have it on top of your mind because you would have the opportunities.
Yes, exactly. This is absolutely true. But I think the clue is that you really have a focus on implementing them. And what we observed over many years is that even if leaders are inspired by a training, and even if they are willing to implement the new tools, the new habits, the new behavior afterwards, even if they are really willing to do so, but then in everyday life, the pressures are so high that they fail. And this is exactly where the new approach of the sprints has the strong impact here.
Let's look at this new leadership sprint, as you call it, in a little more detail. Do you want to share with us the practical way how you implemented it now in one of the pilot programs?
The basic idea is that leadership learning cannot just consist of a workshop or of a training. So the sprint, it's more a full and balanced support system or a support package that focuses on what really matters most in leadership development. And this is the implementation of the new leadership behavior in real time and under real pressure. It's really built to make sure that no one else is left alone in the most difficult part, transfer into everyday leadership.
So there is some support to really help people hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, I would say it's not just some support, it's really a balanced and structured support package consisting of several elements. For example, in our client case, in several client cases, we recognize in the first phase, the company who wants to do leadership development, even before the sprint begins, yeah, they are making a co-creation process involving top management, and then they are selecting their 4, 5, 6 most important areas in leadership they want to focus on. For example, a kind of compass for leadership in the organization. And then the sprint starts. And the sprint always starts with choosing one topic out of the backlog and starting with a workshop. And in the client case, for example, we choose the issue of feedback. So in the workshop, they are practicing feedback together, they are learning the tools, and they are practicing it. And then they are going out to the first sprint loop. And in the sprint loop, they get the workbook at first. Yeah, and the workbook, this is compact multimedia summary of the workshop content, really enriched with instructive videos and precise instructions for developing and implementing their hack. And what is the hack? Yeah, the hack is always their task to really implement and do something. And in this case, for example, if the general topic is feedback and strengthening feedback competencies, the hack could be they are conducting, or in this client case, the hack is all leaders who have participating in the workshop, they are conducting then, for example, 4 to 6 structured feedback conversations with colleagues, where they are asking for feedback. They are asking their employees for feedback. And by this, they learn how their leadership is experienced by others. Not in theory, but in reality. And they learn and experience the difficult feelings of getting feedback by themselves. And when they have made these interviews, always 4 or 5 of them are coming together in a peer group, and they are reflecting in the peer group on their experiences. What did I experience in my feedback interviews? What went well? What was not so easy? What did I learn? Yeah. And then the peer group comes to a peer group coaching with a coach, and they can raise some questions there, and then they are discussing and developing some answers with the coach. This is a whole cycle in which they're really supported and also forced to do the things.
And that's what I hear from customers a lot. You know, it was great that you always kind of forced us to do certain things, or that you sent us reminders, that you helped us with that, because everyone's so caught in their daily lives that it's kind of tough to stick with a topic. So even though that sounds counterintuitive, I get that feedback a lot. It's like, it was great to have that external support.
Yes, and you know, Carola, what is really interesting here is that in the first step, at least some of them have really been fed up with this, since they told us, oh, we are forced so much by you to do the things, and we are so much under pressure, and how can you really ask us to do all these things as an add-on? And then we said, okay, it's maybe not an add-on, it's your daily leadership work you have to do. And if you initiate these feedback dialogues and you are strengthening your feedback culture, this will really help us. And now we get the first feedbacks that especially these people who have been annoyed so much, that they are telling us, hey, I see it now. We are enjoying it that you are forcing us to do this. And we really have to do this, since this gives us the guarantee that everybody has to do it. And then things really go forward.
Yeah. It's kind of, they're all in the same boat, and then, you know, the boat can move forward if everyone's doing their job and participating.
Exactly. Yeah. And they observe by themselves, and they see it and they feel it, that things are moving forward then. I think feedback is a very common topic now, since as I told in the beginning, especially in this fast changing environments, you always have to establish these spaces in which you can think about what's going on here and what is the best action we can take together, and giving us feedback and assessing things together. Yeah, especially in these situations, feedback is a really big issue. And what we are observing now in several companies where we have done this, that when we are making a feedback sprint of 30 days, and people are really participating and the management wants that, then in 30 days, we really can develop a very effective feedback culture there with this method.
And that leads me to a point that you often stress, that leadership development is a lot about developing culture, organizational culture, because leaders do have this essential role in driving an organization's culture. So I think that's an important factor here to note as well, that this is cultural development that we're actually talking about.
Yeah, and I would say only if it's really cultural development, it really can make a deeper impact. Since what we observe a lot is that leadership training usually is focusing on the development of individual leadership skills. But when you just are developing only individual skills, then you never get the power in the organization. So that's why it's so important in the sprint approach that they are doing the workshops really together across hierarchies. Then they are making their own experiences. in the loops, in the sprint loops, yeah, supported by this whole package. And then they are coming back in the workshop again, and then they are sharing their experiences across the hierarchies. And then they really develop a leadership language together. And this makes the deeper impact and the impact on culture.
Well, it's also because employees have leadership experience with different people. So you also would want them to have kind of a different experience with different leaders they encounter. If they talk to their direct supervisor and there is a different leadership mindset than from the person above, there is inconsistency and it's not very credible. So it's another aspect or another reason why it's essential to have this conversation, you know, over the whole group of leaders, not just in one hierarchy.
Since, you know, people are different and they have different character and so on. But this is not the issue. The issue is that even if people are different, and they shall be different, yeah, it's important in organizations to develop a certain alignment to achieve the common goals. And to achieve the common goals and to get this alignment, you need, in terms of leadership, some basic principles and some basic tools in all leaders and all the employees use together and apply together. And especially if the diversity among the people is great, it's even more important to get this alignment via basic principles of leadership and some basic tools.
Yeah, I've observed these situations where there was development on one level of the organization, and then there was always this kind of disappointment when they talked or were in interaction with another area of the organization.
My observation for many years was the following, that we are working in a company with one leadership level. And this leadership level is telling us then, okay, that's great. That's the new leadership. But we'd like to apply it. It's really good. Yeah. And we like your approach. But the leadership level above us, we think they don't apply it. Mm. And we are working with the leadership level above them. It's the same story and the same game. They are telling, we like it. We do this. Yeah, we do it. Yeah, but the level above. And so it's really important to do this across the levels together, that you cannot allow them to play these games.
I remember I was also sometimes part of these leadership development programs, and we had a full day of workshop with great content talking about psychological safety, which is always a cornerstone of one of the first modules. And then in the evening, we had a fireside chat with a board member. And what do you think happened? No psychological safety in that meeting. And they were not able to ask any open questions. It was a very difficult situation. Yeah. And then the next day they come back and they say, well, you know, we talked about psychological safety. We understand the concept. It's great. But did you see what we have to go through every day? And I'm like, yes.
Sure.
Yeah. What would you tell them? Like, what's a good answer here?
I think I would tell the management to really take part of these initiatives. In my point of view and in my experience, I always made the observation when the top management is really included in the program, yeah, in the leadership development, and when they are really learning the same stuff as all others learn, and especially if they do it together with the other hierarchy levels, it will really get more impact. And I would think they will be successful then to establish rooms and spaces of psychological safety.
And I think that's something that we as consultants are very well positioned to also bring in and bring to the table and discuss with senior leadership.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I learned in the many years of leadership development I'm running now, that in my earlier years, yeah, it happened often that the top leadership said, okay, no, we will not take part in the program. We know it. We know it. We know this stuff. And I said, okay, if you don't want, then we just work with the lower levels. But what I learned is that this will not really lead to success. And so nowadays, I'm always really forcing top leadership to involve themselves into the program.
Yeah, because otherwise it's always like, why don't they have to do it? We have to do it. And this is, yeah.
Yeah. And what I'm telling them, especially the very experienced leaders, that I really recognized there is a basic difference between knowledge champions and implementing champions. And most of senior leaders, they are knowledge champions. They have heard all this stuff many times about feedback, about setting goals, about walk the talk. They heard it. But then I ask them, if I would now ask an employee of you, are you really doing this? And are you doing it in a right way? And does it really make impact? Okay, then they are doubting a little bit. Yeah, then they are doubting a little bit. And this is at least most of them convincing to take part in the learning by themselves.
The implementation gap, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So you mentioned a lot of these things out there. We all read a lot of articles and books. There are a lot of podcasts. And there's a lot of thought leaders out there for a lot of impulses, how to develop personally, not only for leaders, but also on a personal level. To really do it, as we discussed a lot today, is the tough thing. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners on how to actually do that? How could our listeners create their own hacks, so to speak?
I just can share, I've been very inspired by one book I read several years ago and that really changed my life. It's The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership by Diane Chapman and Kayleigh Warner Clamp. And in this book, they really show what is the shift in leadership going from what should I do as a leader coming to who am I being while I lead? So instead of offering just tools or tips, it introduces a powerful mindset shift from fear and control to responsibility and curiosity. And I always say a little bit in the funny way, it's a kind of Bible for me. So if I would believe in God, it would be my Bible. Yeah, but I don't believe in God. And so it's it's my kind of my leadership Bible. Yeah.
Okay. This podcast has reached a whole different level. Very in-depth of discussing on many different levels. Okay, so there's also some practical that people can take with them.
Sure.
That they can take out of today's podcast. Thank you, Kurt, for joining today. We talked a lot about personal development and how to really make it stick, I would say, how to transfer it from theory into practice. We talked about the leadership sprint, even though it's actually a marathon, I would say. I don't know if you agree, Kurt, but you have to stick with it. It's not about, you know, one sprint and then you're done.
No, sure, sure. I think leadership is a lifelong story and a lifelong driving for. Yeah, so it's never done, since you can always become better every day. And if you don't stay in this mode of self-reflection and learning, you will also lose your leadership skills.
And it is an essential lever to further develop culture and the organization as a whole. As sure. We discussed, in today's world, it becomes even more crucial that people have the right skills to tackle the challenges ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you, Kurt, for an inspiring conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. Yes?
Yes, it was really a pleasure for me, Carola. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay. So if our dear listeners would like to keep the conversation going, as always, you can find the email in the show notes. So if you have any questions or if you're interested in collaborating, just reach out to us and I will put you in touch with Kurt. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Change That Works seeks to inspire a different way to transform organizations. Let's tune in again for our next episode.